Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio. You're listening to the Jay Shapiro Show.
Hello again, this is Jay Shapiro. Thanks for listening. The main topic of my program today is disinformation about Israel, especially in the media and on campuses in the United States. I spent two-thirds of my program this week on this topic because it is important and disinformation sources are growing. A poll was taken by something called the Jewish Electorate Institute, and the poll shows that 25% of respondents, and I'm speaking among Jews, believe that Israel is an apartheid state. 22% consider Israel guilty of genocide and against the Palestinians, and perhaps most significantly, in the under 40 age group among Jews, 20% agreed that Israel has no right to exist. Now, this was conducted by an organization called the Jewish Electric Institute, which was actually associated with the Democratic Party. Matter of fact, the pollsters were, the polling was done under the direction of a progressive Democrat, which has conducted surveys for J Street, a new Israel fund, another progressive Washington, D.C. think tanks. So perhaps these things are somewhat, prejudice is the best word to use it, but still they are numbers that are now available. And this means that Israel has to face the facts. And the Israeli government, which has been very lax in dealing with representing Israel outside the country, really has to take a stand now. And American Jewish and Israeli leaders have to stand against this disinformation campaign that has become the progressive discourse. I'll speak in detail about this. Thanks again for listening.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel?
Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Jay Shapiro Show.
You're back with Jay Shapiro. I want to say a few words about Israel and disinformation. The July 2020 Jewish Electorate Institute poll of American Jewish opinion on Israel has shocked the Jewish community. The poll, which has triggered sharp debate both in the United States and Israel, shows that 25% of respondents believe that Israel is an apartheid state, while 22% consider Israel guilty of genocide against Palestinians. The poll, which was conducted by a Jewish Electorate Institute, which is an affiliate of the Jewish Democratic Council of America, Democrat meaning the Democratic Party, this online survey has raised questions ranging from the questionnaire's methodological ability, its survey bias, its overarching political context and objectives. The pollsters, under the direction of a progressive Democrat, have conducted surveys for J Street, the New Israel Fund, and other progressive Washington, D.C. think tanks. Despite the many questions that arise from the survey results, they do not come as a surprise. A disinformation campaign leveled at Israel's very legitimacy has been percolating through the West for decades, and since 2000 has overtaken American liberals. They compare Israel to Nazi Germany by using the word genocide, or they compare Israel to the former South African apartheid regime, which driven by notions of white racial supremacy. So more people have uncritically accepted a progressive narrative in which facts and language have been reconstructed for the purposes of disinformation and deception. Disinformation as a political war phenomenon has deep historical roots. Today's intensifying ideological and rhetorical assault on Israel is modeled, believe it or not, on the former Soviet Union's use of disinformation. It is part of the so-called active measures which were used by the Soviets as a key strategy in its Cold War campaign against the United States. For example, one of the most successful Soviet information campaigns, Code Infection, involved a Soviet planted story back in 1983, in which they claimed that the U.S. had an engineered virus that caused AIDS in order to kill American gays and blacks. They even accused the Pentagon of planting the AIDS virus. The campaign was effective. The story spread quickly, particularly in Africa, and appeared in Western media in hundreds of news articles in another about 80 countries. Even the news program 60 Minutes, a very popular American program, dedicated a primetime broadcast promoting this Soviet hoax. Ultimately, the campaign was disproven by Soviet defectors. By that time, the United States has sustained substantial damage by the smear campaign. And also, it would be noted that the strategic objective of Soviet information was to release deliberately distorted information secretly leaked in the communication press in order to deceive and manipulate public opinion. And that is the same kind of thing that is happening now. There are three steps necessary to counter this kind of warfare. The first is the recognition that disinformation is not merely propaganda, but is really a manifestation of warfare through other means. Second of all, you have to document and expose the enemy's methods and objectives. And third, the unambiguous demand that lies and deception will be considered acts of warfare, and they have to be treated as such. So what's happening with the background for what the Palestinians are doing and doing successfully? For decades, particularly since the signing of the Oslo II Accords in 1995 and intensifying with the Durban Conference in 2001, the Palestinian National Movement has used Soviet-style disinformation to discredit, delegitimize, and demonize Israel. Beginning in the late 1960s, PLO officials regularly underwent military and political warfare training in Moscow and other Soviet satellite countries like North Vietnam and Cuba. The Soviets trained and supplied Marxist-Leninist terrorists such as the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine in training camps in Lebanon and other locations. They provided education for the Palestine Liberation Organization at a place called Lumumba University in Moscow. Even the present chairman of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, completed his doctoral thesis there in 1982. His thesis was called The Other Side, The Secret Relationship Between Nazism and Zionism. It includes Holocaust denial and assertions that Zionists assisted Hitler. These extremist themes have continued through his whole life, and he is now the head of the Palestinian Authority. Active measures and strategies have been used by the PLO, Hamas, and even the Iranian regime. Ironically, the signing of the Oslo Accords between the PLO and Israel intensified the phenomenon of disinformation and incitement rather than eliminating it. The branding of Israel as a genocidal apartheid country began as a formal campaign in September 2001 at the UN-sanctioned World Conference Against Racism in Durham, South Africa. It was all rooted in Arafat's Zionism is racism speech at the UN General Assembly back in 1974. Although the Durban Conference was planned as a worldwide effort to stamp out racism, it became a festival of hate against Israel. One of the conference participants, the former Canadian Minister of Justice, Erwin Cutler, noted that at the time, the final declaration from that conference was that Israel was guilty of genocide, apartheid, ethnic cleaning, settler colonialism, and racism, no more and no less. Over the past decade, the Palestinian leadership has prosecuted a campaign of disinformation. They accuse Israel of all kinds of terrible things. And some of the things they said were retweeted by Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib. During the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic, the PA Prime Minister Mohammed Shtaya accused Israel of intentionally infecting Palestinians with the coronavirus. Throughout the May 2021 Gaza conflict, just a few months ago, the combination of terms Israel and genocide were tweeted hundreds of times per hour throughout the fighting. On May 14th alone, the terms were retweeted more than 2,000 times per hour. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and other social media platforms have served as a breeding ground for the modern-day version of medieval blood libels against the Jews. The Jewish Electoral Institute found that in the under-40 age group, 20% of Jewish respondents agreed that Israel has no right to exist. This finding stems in part from the influence of Hamas propaganda on U.S. campuses, particularly since the 2019 Gaza March of Return and things that the Iranian regime has done. Disinformation on American universities' campuses has mesticized via both students and faculty groups. There are over 200 branches of Students for Justice of Palestine on American college campuses, and they become an advocate for Hamas. They also invite former convicted terrorists to speak on campuses in the United States. For example, the sponsor of the annual Israel Apartheid Week on hundreds of campuses across the U.S. and Europe, underscoring the Israeli apartheid libel as its main theme. Israel Apartheid Week has led to anti-Semitic assault and harassment against Jewish students. They also have a campaign of academic and cultural boycott against Israel, and mainstreams the disinformation promoted by the others. So we have reached a situation that is very dangerous, really, for the state of Israel. I'll say a few more words about this after the break, because this is an important subject. I want to make it as clear as I possibly can to the listeners. So I'll be back after the break with just a few more words and then some other subjects. Thanks.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham, host of The Walter Bingham File. Look out for a very special, exclusive program coming soon here on Israel News Talk Radio with young people who have left their ultra-Orthodox families and lifestyle and speak frankly and openly with me about their reasons for entering the secular world. Do they believe in God? How has that change affected them? What is their relationship with their parents? And why do they deliberately eat ham sandwiches? That and much more in this searching investigation into their innermost souls. Don't miss it. Coming soon on The Walter Bingham File, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Jay Shapiro Show.
You're back with Jay Shapiro. I want to say a few more words about the disinformation campaign against Israel because it's really important. A high-profile Palestinian-American professors have advanced the narrative that Israel is an apartheid country. They brought it into the mainstream of academic course at leading U.S. universities, including Columbia and UCLA and UC Berkeley and Rutgers, which I myself attended. And they're working very hard at disinformation. Worse, there are some Jewish groups that promoted disinformation campaigns that emanate from the PLO and Hamas. In the May 2021 Hamas rocket war, which was just a few months ago, 200 rabbinical students signed a letter calling to hold Israel accountable for racist violence and apartheid. In the same spirit, scores of Jewish and Israeli academics signed a public letter of condemnation in 2016, excoriating the German Bundestag's resolution that the BDS movement is anti-Semitic. Outspoken anti-Zionist groups, including If Not Now and Jewish Voice for Peace, have actively advocating the dismantling of Israel as a Jewish and democratic state, and these organizations have also gained prominence. In 2017, the Jewish Voice for Peace published a report that falsely accused Israel of training U.S. law enforcement forces to abuse African Americans, which triggered a racially motivated backlash around the time of the George Floyd riots and racialized Israel as a white supremacist entity. Other organizations such as J Street, which claim to be pro-Israel and pro-peace, have regularly hosted leading advocates of the apartheid disinformation campaign. They've invited former PA and PLO senior officials. So, in this way, Jewish groups have normalized a propaganda narrative against Israel rooted in Soviet ideology and terminology such as settler colonist, colonialist, imperialist, and racist. That these are words used by the Russians, and now they're being used against Israel. Now, what about in Congress? Progressive American Jews have also been influenced by the vocal public positions of popular progressive leaders in the U.S. Congress, including Congresswomen Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who have led the disinformation campaign against Israel, which is unprecedented in the U.S. House of Representatives. So the challenge in overcoming disinformation is really formidable. In the same way, the State Department once established an active measures working group to mobilize the fight against Soviet disinformation, the Jewish community needs to undertake a parallel effort to expose deception and rhetorical misinformation and disinformation on Israel. Former Soviet Jews like Natan Sharansky have warned of the Soviet ideology penetrating the Western discourse, and particularly in the United States. He noted Sharansky noted that history has become full circle, and when they spoke then of Zionists, they now meant Jews, and when they spoke against Jews, they now mean Israel. So American Jewish leaders must now take an unambiguous stand against the PLO and Hamas-led disinformation campaign in America that has become the progressive discourse. Israel, too, has largely failed until today to recognize and counter this old propaganda political warfare campaign that has really continued to undermine Israel's international legitimacy. And perhaps even worse, there is a distance growing between Israel and a number of American Jews, while even succeeding to draft others into the ranks of disinformation advocacy. So to pretty much sum up what I've said so far, we have the following. The July 2021 Jewish Electorate Institute poll of American Jews showed that 25% of respondents believed that Israel is an apartheid state. That was a poll taken among Jews. 22% consider Israel guilty of genocide against the Palestinians. In the under 40 age group, 20% agree that Israel has no right to exist. Now, I'm talking about polls taken among Jews. Now, what really we have here is a lack of proper education in the Jewish community. They are raising one or two generation of Jews who have little understanding of what it means to be Jewish, and little understanding, if no understanding, of Jewish history, particularly Jewish history since, let's say, 1900. They know little about the Holocaust. They know little about the State of Israel. They know little about the war that Israel had to fight against overwhelming odds in order to come into being. In other words, what we see today is the result among Jews of just plain ignorance. And as a disinformation campaign has been leveled at Israel's legitimacy, it's been percolating throughout the West since the 1975 UN Zionism is Racism resolution. And it has overtaken public discourse on Israel since 2000 in the United States, and it is being supported by a number of members of Congress. I don't have to repeat their names. Everybody knows who this group is, and the squad, they call them. And they spread lies and ignorance about the State of Israel. This campaign has come to normalize the application of terms about Israel. But they use terms like genocide, apartheid, ethnic cleansing, settler colonialism, and racism. These are heavy words. Now, this disinformation as a political welfare phenomenon, a political warfare phenomenon, has deep historical roots in the Soviet Union. They trained people to essentially provide disinformation to deceive and manipulate public opinion. Palestinian leadership has used Soviet-styled information to discredit and to demonize Israel beginning in the late 1960s when PO officials underwent military and political training in Moscow and other Soviet satellite countries. This information is now being spread through American colleges and social media, which have negatively affected Jewish American public opinion, and also Jewish, even Jewish public opinion. Young Jews who have very little background and very little Jewish education are being politicized against Israel by this campaign, which is really big. The bottom line is the leaders of the American Jewish community, this is a real war. A real war. And there is no doubt that American Jewish and Israeli leaders must organize, and they have to stand against this disinformation campaign. And it has essentially become the progressive discourse, particularly in the United States. This is a war now, a different kind of war. One without guns, but it's really a big war because it's a war for public opinion. There are members of Congress, including some Jewish members of Congress, like the senator from Vermont, who is calling for curtailing American aid to Israel. What they don't take into account, by the way, is the fact that the American aid to Israel helps the United States. It's a tremendous sharing of information. Much of that information is generated by Israel and helps the United States. These things are right now under the Biden administration. Things in the United States have changed radically in the last several months. So the progressives are being supported by more people than they were before. So the bottom line is, we are in a real war for public opinion because public opinion will affect public action. And public action, which is negative against the state of Israel, is going to be really harmful to Israel. So something must be done about it. I'll be back after the break.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
You're listening to The Jay Shapiro Show.
You're back with Jay Shapiro. As a general policy, I don't talk about Israeli politics because this program is only once a week and the details are too much for foreign listeners to follow. You have to know what's happening here in detail. And also, things change very rapidly here in politics, and it's too much for a once-a-week plan show. Also, I generally don't talk about world politics unless they affect Israel, because I'm simply not an expert. But I want to say a few words because we have a new government. I want to comment on our new government. A lot has been written since we have a prime minister now, Naftali Bennett, and we have a foreign minister named Yair Lapid, and they came into power about 6 weeks ago. So everybody's looking to see how the new government is doing and what opportunities it presents to reset Israel's relations with some key countries around the world. First and foremost is the relationship with the U.S. Democratic Party, which I believe is a relationship that suffered during the 12 years of former Prime Minister Netanyahu. There were ties with American progressives and with liberal American Jews, and there may be a problem now. The signal coming from Jerusalem was that this government was different than the previous one, and that it would not confront the Biden administration face on, particularly when it comes to Iran, which is an existential problem for Israel, not for the United States. So Israel apparently is trying to build a more positive relationship with the United States and with the Palestinian Authority and for American Jews. So they want them to feel more positive about what Israel's doing. Also, one of the interesting things is that Bennett and Lapid, they turned a whole new page having to do with Jordan. Bennett has already met in Jordan with King Abdullah, and Lapid has already visited his Jordanian counterpart, the Jordanian foreign minister. Also, Lapid already went to Brussels to try and start new ties with the European Union. The perception he tried to convey was that Paris, Berlin, and Copenhagen could feel comfortable with the new Israeli government. So a reboot is good when it comes to relations with countries with whom there were points of friction in the past. But so far it looks like they're doing well. However, I think the biggest problem, in my estimation, among other big problems, has to do with our relationship with America vis-a-vis Iran. Official announcements from Washington talk about the reduction of the U.S. military presence in the Middle East. This reduction will include air defense and outposts in Saudi Arabia. And for President Joe Biden, U.S. foreign policy apparently are focused on China and much less on the Middle East. There is apparently a lack of interest in the Middle East. It seems Biden has shown no eagerness to recreate the Obama administration's first term and get deeply involved in the complex area, particularly the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Democratic progressives in the Congress who want to press their views on Israel retreated after realizing the administration is not too enthusiastic about the Middle East. Israel has, in the meantime, signed agreements with a number of Middle Eastern Muslim countries, which is good. Although reducing the U.S. presence in the Middle East seems to be a goal of both the Trump and the Biden administrations, There's clearly a big difference between them when it comes to creating the conditions that will allow American withdrawal. And that's important because under the Trump administration, reducing the military presence was accompanied by pressure on Iran, creating the potential for a much better nuclear agreement when the 2015 nuclear deal comes to an end. The nuclear deal was a bad one. At the same time, Trump worked to create a new regional strategic balance based on Israeli Gulf coalitions in the form of what has become known as the Abraham Accords, which is agreements between Israel and other countries, Muslim countries, all the while securing advanced arms deals with coalition partner countries. In other words, I don't know what went on under the table, but apparently a number of the agreements that Israel made with these Muslim countries were accompanied by American giving more defensive material to these countries. So this approach pretty much pitted the rich Arab country states against the violent other state, which is Iran. Also, all these other Muslim states that made agreements with Israel are Sunni Muslim states, and Iran is a Shiite Muslim state, and the Shiites and the Sunni don't get along very well with each other. Now, all this occurred under the Trump administration. Now, the Biden administration is completely different. It apparently wants the United States out of the region as quickly as possible, and it believes the way to achieve this is through an agreement with Iran that will allow it to become a regional superpower. In other words, what the United States is doing is lifting the economic blockade, which is now in place, and allowing the Iranian regime potential access to nuclear weapons. That is something Trump did not do. So the undermining of the strategic rationale of the Abraham Accords, the agreements between Israel and other Muslim nations against Iran. So apparently some of these Gulf states are getting closer, or making, I guess you can say, they're flirting with Tehran, because they understand there's been a change in American attitudes under the Biden administration. In other words, as I see it, the Biden administration is going to be much softer on Iran than the Trump administration was. Now, the bottom line is, of course, this is bad news for Israel. Israel has spent a decade continuously working to augment its strategic status in the region, much of which apparently has been done under the cloak of secrecy. Biden's approach could mean the progress made by Israel in its relations with the Arab world may now see a reversible, or at least a setback. Now, what this could mean is the future could be marked by the strategic ascendance of Iran, and while at the same time it's building a nuclear, or trying to build a nuclear weapon. So this could create conditions that completely change the Middle Eastern reality, make it even more complex, make it more even explosive, and as such as events of the recent war in Gaza show, the world is very sensitive to how Israel relates to Gaza, and that's a story unto itself. Because of the internet and with social media and things like that, and the fact that the Palestinians are doing a great job of public relations in the United States, and particularly on university campuses, presents an increasingly difficult situation for Israel. So I guess if I had to sum up my understanding, the situation of Israel in the Middle East, with the rising of the Tehran, and with the change in the U.S. administration's attitude toward Iran, the Trump attitude was very hard, harsh, and the Biden attitude seems to be completely the opposite. So that muddies the waters here in the Middle East and may have a bad or a deleterious effect on Israel's new relations with the Muslim countries around us. And as I said before, I'm certainly not an expert on the Middle East, but you don't have to be an expert to read the daily headlines and to see what is happening. The thing that we're not talking about things that are secret. We're talking what is published every day in the papers. And so we have a situation now which is rapidly becoming different than the relationship that existed when Trump was president. Having said all that, thanks for listening. Jay Shapiro, until next time.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.